This week on Family Anatomy, Anatomy of Santa Claus.
Hosts of Family Anatomy are psychologists, but they're not your psychologists. So if you want to talk to someone about family or mental health issues, you can get a referral from your family doctor. This show is for information only.
Welcome to Family Anatomy, your source for parenting and relationship information, with your hosts, Dr. Giuseppe Spazzano
and Dr. Brian McDonald. And we are talking about, well, it's the season to talk about Santa Claus. And so we want to right out of the gate, we want to say to parents, we're going to be having a grown-up talk about Santa Claus. So you might not want to be listening to the show when there are kids around.
And by grown-up talk, we don't mean that we're actually talking about the anatomy of Santa Claus.
Oh.
That's not what we're talking about, right?
You know, we sat down at the beginning and I said, what are we going to call? We always, every episode starts with anatomy of this, anatomy of that. And I said, really? Anatomy of Santa Claus? Yes. Giuseppe was determined. Yes. I will explain why that is appropriate. And so
there's
the
a
floor is yours.
There's a spoiler alert at the beginning, which is good.
Yeah. So press stop if there are kids nearby.
Otherwise, carry on with the show.
And we're back.
So you hear about people who are kind of not comfortable with the whole idea of Santa Claus, and for a lot of different reasons. Some might be religious, others that, you know, you're quote-unquote lying to your child.
The commercialization of Christmas.
The commercialization, that's another objection. There's lots of different objections here.
That's true. Did you believe in Santa Claus when you were a kid?
Thought you'd never ask.
I knew you wanted me to ask that question, so I did.
Here comes a little bit of history, just for you, though. Only for you.
Really? Just for me? Please.
Just for you.
Do go on.
Now.
Everyone else can fast forward this part.
Yes.
We'll let you know when you should come back.
My parents, of course, were born in Italy and grew up in Italy as kids. Came to Canada in 1960.
Mm-hmm.
Did they have a Santa Claus in Italy?
They had a Saint Nick.
they actually had, they didn't have Santa Claus. They didn't have a Saint Nick. They had something called Babbo Natale. You know what that is?
I have no idea.
Father Christmas.
There you go.
What about that?
That's not bad.
Okay. Now, did they have a Father Christmas who came around and gave them presents?
I'm going to say no.
No, of course not.
Father Christmas do?
I actually don't know what he did, but he certainly didn't do that.
Does he leave presents now in 2009?
That would be like, yeah, I think things have changed over the years because it's become more of a global community.
Yeah.
It's 1960. They were in a poor village in Italy, and it was very religious. So the original meaning of Christmas was what was observed. So they went to midnight mass. And they had a big dinner. That's what it was. It was a dinner celebration with your family and midnight mass.
All right. And no presents under the Christmas tree.
No, there was no sort of thought to giving presents just because Jesus was born.
Now, my wife's family came from Germany, and they, well, it was a bit more like Santa Claus in Germany. They had, I think it was Sinterklaas.
Okay.
Which I believe is where the name Santa Claus comes from. Like, Sinterklaas was St. Nicholas.
Okay.
And on St. Nicholas Day, you would leave a boot on your windowsill, I think. And Sinterklaas would leave you a little something, a little treat of some kind. So, and that didn't happen on Christmas Day either. That's like a few weeks before Christmas. In fact, we put a little something in the kid's boot on December 6th, I think it was.
So his name was Cinta?
Saint.
Okay. But when you say it, Cinta like that, it sounds like it's probably a slim figure.
Sure. Okay. I'm not going to make any I'm not going to make any judgments about the German language or how it sounds okay. when you say it. And especially not that whatever nice thing you may be saying sounds like you're shouting at someone whenever you speak German.
So
maybe that's
okay,
just
so,
the Germans I know.
Maybe it is. So they came here, no concept of Santa Claus whatsoever.
Well, I wouldn't say no concept
No,
whatsoever.
I'm saying my
okay,
parents.
Okay, your parents, yes, right.
None.
And they were in Santa's heyday in the 60s. Free love, free presents.
Coca-Cola. Right?
That's where the red and white costume came from.
That's right.
From now, the Coca-Cola labels.
You know, so they come here, there's no Santa Claus, there's no exchanging of gifts. That's all sort of, that'd be like at Easter, exchanging a bunch of gifts. And, well, I guess the Easter thing now has turned into a chocolate with the Easter bunny and all that. But you know what I mean? Imagine at Easter, there was this big tree and all these gifts and lights and all that. That was the same kind of thing that they had to, it was a bit of a culture shock for them
right.
to have all this stuff happen.
And, I mean, in 1960, you were already, what, 7, 8, 10 years old. And so you didn't know about Santa Claus either, right?
I did not know about Santa Claus. Because they didn't know about Santa Claus, but I did find out about Santa Claus through television.
Right. And did you think he would rise out of the pumpkin patch every October?
No, it was a bit like Pinocchio, I guess, you know.
Okay.
It was this television cartoon thing.
An imaginary character?
Yeah.
Do you feel like, well, okay. So you didn't know about Santa Claus really when you were little. Now you have two little kids. What do they think about this whole Santa business?
Well, I've totally indoctrinated them into Santa Claus, of course.
Wow.
Of course.
You truly have rejected your Italian roots.
No, I see, the point I'm trying to make is I never had to go through this thing where they were told me that Santa Claus existed, and then at one point I had to realize, oh, what they told me wasn't true, and Santa Claus doesn't exist. I never went through that transition. Now,
you must have. Because he does exist, so I don't know why you would...
Of course, that's, that's right. Why.
No, I did have to go through that, actually, yeah, because I was little in the 70s, and that's, you know, all the kids I knew also believed in Santa Claus. And so
how was the transition for you then?
For me, it was I don't know if this is typical or not, but for me, it was a fairly easy one. I just remember figuring it out that this just, I'd never talked to anyone about it or anything. Just one day saying, wait a second, something doesn't seem right here. And just realizing, well, that couldn't be possible. I guess when you start to move away from the magical thinking of childhood, right?
Right.
And I don't remember confronting my parents about it or anything like that. I just kind of continued to go along with it, even though I didn't believe in Santa Claus anymore.
So you weren't upset by it?
I was a little disappointed, I think, but I don't remember being extremely upset. And I remember my parents explaining to me at some point, and I don't know if I eventually asked them about it or if they were actually talking to one of my siblings, but explaining that Santa Claus is the spirit of Christmas, the wanting to share, the wanting to be with family, all of those things that go along with Christmas. Santa Claus is the spirit that embodies those things. And so that was kind of a nice image for me when I was younger. And I thought, well, okay, that's fine. That sounds good to me.
I did see a study that because, you know, you usually hear some more of the more outspoken people talk about it. It's like, I wouldn't do that because then you're lying to your child and then they're going to be very upset that they were brought up in deception and that sort of thing.
Do you know anyone personally like that?
I don't, but I'll tell you something. A lot of kids, the study that I saw, a lot of kids that eventually come to the understanding that Santa Claus is this mythical figure are actually proud of themselves that they figured it out. Mm-hmm. So there's this opposite kind of thing that can happen too. It's not, I personally don't know anyone that was terribly disappointed. Part of, I think, what happens here is that the myth of Santa Claus is sort of traveling up through the years and through that sort of stage where kids don't really know the difference between fantasy and reality. And so it makes an awful lot of sense to young kids. And as their brains are maturing and they're able to actually distinguish that, it's almost a natural progression. Even if someone doesn't tell them, they kind of figure it out. And that's where some of that pride might come from.
Yeah, I think I remember reading something, and I don't know if this was from a research study or one of the other papers that I pulled out, but somebody saying that, you know, younger kids can't understand these abstract ideas of giving and sharing, and it's better to give than receive and all of that stuff, but they can understand reindeer and that magical person who gives and shares and doesn't expect anything in return except maybe some cookies and milk.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know someone that was very upset by this?
No, you know what? I know someone who was determined not to indoctrinate, was the word you used,
mm-hmm.
determined not to have their kids, even as toddlers, believe in Santa Claus.
Okay.
And to me, you know, their reasoning was, I don't want to lie to my kids. I always want to be honest with them, et cetera, et cetera. And I can see the logic behind that. But at the same time, I felt kind of bad for those kids. You know, there's innocence of childhood and that magical thinking. And we've talked about imaginary friends and things like that. Just taking away the myth of Santa Claus that so many other kids believe in is, I don't know. I just feel like there's maybe they'd be lacking something.
There's something wonderful there that matches their cognitive abilities at when you start to introduce this stuff. I mean, it comes down to values. There's no psychological negative impact from telling kids. There's no evidence from telling kids that Santa Claus exists when he doesn't. There's no negative psychological impact from not going with the Santa Claus myth. So it's basically values. If your friend didn't feel comfortable with it, that's perfectly okay. I mean, hopefully those kids will get a sense of fantasy and wonderment from many things in life, sure. Not just Santa Claus. So yeah. I don't think there's a big deprivation there. And I don't think the thing about lying to your kids, right? Here's an example. Someone, let's say, has gained a lot of weight over the holidays, for instance, right?
Sure.
You want to make sure your son or daughter doesn't go up to them and say something that's hurtful and embarrassing to them. So what do you do if the person comes and says, how do I look in my new clothes? I mean, you're partly teaching them to make white lies to protect the feelings of others. So lying when they're white lies smooths out social relationships. It actually has to do a little bit with emotional intelligence even. So, I mean, some people might think that Santa Claus isn't a white lie and it's a bigger lie, and that's fine. Okay. But we have to, I think, be realistic about lying in daily life and the kinds of situations it's used in that are perfectly acceptable.
Sure. I mean, I think most psychologists would equate the Santa Claus myth, depending on how it's sold at home, with those kinds of little white lies, right? It might become a different thing when what's happening is that this, rather than talking about the Santa Claus myth, you're talking about the Santa Claus threat.
Okay.
If you continue what you're doing, you will get nothing for Christmas. There will be no presents, and Santa will not come to our house because he sees you when you're sleeping and he knows when you've been bad or good.
No, get upstairs.
Now, I mean, that's not discipline, right? That's not teaching. It may be discipline, but it's not teaching the kids anything. And the fact is, if your child misbehaves on December 1st and 24 days later they don't get something that they wanted for Christmas, no learning is going to happen.
No, not a great strategy.
Most psychologists would say, hey, find a different way to consequence your kids for what they're doing, and let the Santa Claus story be a happy one over the holidays, because that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, consequences need to be immediate, and then they need to be given a fresh start later that day or the next day. So that would be a terrible strategy to use. But, you know, again, it comes back to the kind of values that you want to promote with. And you have that right. It's your kids, and you can do that. There's no psychological harm one way or another.
No, no. Now, there are some of the things that I was reading was talking more about the benefits. You know, are there benefits to believing in this, to sharing the Santa Claus story and continuing to talk about that with your kids? And there was one person in, let me tell you, trying to read through this journal was, I guess what I was reading about was a little alien to me. It was like a philosophy article as opposed to a research study. But this was from Culture and Psychology a few years back. And what this wasn't a study, it was more of an essay, okay? And it was about child development and how kids begin to develop a sense of themselves. You know how babies eventually learn to recognize themselves in the mirror, how you eventually learn that you're separate from other people, how you eventually learn that other people don't know all the things that you know, and so you have to set things up when you're talking to them about things. And one of the things that, the author's name was Nelson, one of the things Nelson talked about is how, you know, when you're talking to other people, when you're a little toddler and you're talking to other people and you're sharing your story about what happened to you in the day or what happened to you a few minutes ago, that's part of developing your sense of self as well. I mean, it also helps you kind of organize your memories and learn how to tell stories in sequence and things like that. And she started to kind of broaden that idea to sort of the cultural self as well. You think about yourself in relation to the culture in which you sit, and the Santa Claus myth sort of fits with those maybe cultural stories that we tell in Canada, in the U.S., maybe not so much in Italy or Germany. It might be a different story there. But in North America, most kids know that story. And it's part of growing up in North America and being a child in North America. And it's almost like, you know, ages ago when we first started the podcast, one of the books that we talked about was called Everything Bad is Good for You. And the idea that not watching certain TV shows that everyone else knew about sort of sets you apart from the social group and puts you on the outside of some of the things that might be happening at school or on the playground.
I mean, let's be honest here. If your parents tell you that Santa Claus is not, they have to make a choice because you're going to find out about Santa Claus. Yeah, well, it's not like under a rock somewhere.
I think by the time they're eight, about 50% of kids no longer believe.
That's right. That's right. But I mean, you will find out about whether your parents tell you or not about Santa Claus. You're going to find out. You're going to be going to the mall, or you're going to be walking outside with all these Christmas lights on, or you're at school and, you know, Santa might drop by, or, you know, you're going to find out about it. So it's up to them to choose whether they're going to kill that myth or promote it. Right.
And it can be a tough decision because you want to be honest with your kids, but at the same time, you don't want them to give up that innocence too young, because it certainly happens young enough as it is, I think. And it seems like it's happening younger and younger. Kids seem to be knowing more and more. Let me tell you about something that I thought was a bit odd in my research on Santa Claus. And that's a study from a few years back that said that, I don't know if you're going to buy this or not, but contact with costume figures, especially around the sensory overload time of the holidays, may be linked to psychiatric symptoms such as illusion, confusion, paranoia, and other things in patients with delirium.
Whoa.
So.
Wow.
If you're an elderly person who is suffering from delirium and
you see Batman coming around the corner,
and you go
or Santa Claus,
and you go to the mall and see all of the noise and the crowds and it's hot with your winter coat and the bright costumes and all of the music, you might overload a little
bit.
Get
back in your ride and get out of there.
Yeah. You know, you don't want to expose yourself to that.
You don't.
So that was a strange, I, why would anyone research that? But I guess it's because they would celebrate those holidays at hospitals and nursing homes, and some of the patients in those places were having a negative reaction.
Actually, my wife works with a lot of patients that have these kinds of disorders, and that's some of the recommendations she makes, not about cape figures, but you know, they're renovating the hospital once and they were deciding on colors. And one of the things that was recommended from psychology's point of view was to make sure those colors were soothing, because it can create a lot of confusion in people who have some of these types of disorders.
Yeah, and things like that.
Now, like I said before, I don't know anyone that's been upset, really, really upset by it, but you know, you read about it. My sense is the people who turned 7, 8 years old, 9, 10 years old, found out that there wasn't a Santa and got really, really upset with their parents. And then later years still looked back and felt that they were betrayed and so on. Likely that there's a larger context around those feelings. Do you know what I mean? So that their relationship generally with their parents was infused with a lot of these kinds of things, and this was one symbolic aspect of that.
Yeah, I read about one child who, when she, I don't know if confronted is the right word, but talked to her mom about the idea that she didn't believe in Santa Claus anymore, was told, well, kids who don't believe in Santa don't get presents at Christmas time.
Oh.
I mean, that might make it a bit more traumatic, right?
And then there's another aspect to this. There are some families that simply don't have the money to buy their kids gifts.
Yeah.
So now their child is in a tough spot. They're in a tough spot because it's not strictly coming from the parents. You know, if you're naughty or nice, this whole thing doesn't just come from parents. If they don't get a gift, are they going to think they're naughty?
Yeah, that's a tough one too.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, let's move away from that serious stuff for a second and talk just a little bit about maybe some practical information for parents. One of the things we already mentioned was, you know, the threats about Santa Claus sometimes can turn that thing around and make Santa more of a negative than a positive, and it doesn't necessarily teach your kids the way that they're supposed to behave, right?
That's right.
Another thing I think that comes up a lot around this time of year is pictures with Santa at the mall.
Right.
And for toddlers, that can be maybe a scary experience.
It depends on the toddler, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my firstborn found it quite scary. My secondborn loved it.
Have you ever ever seen a picture of a toddler just crying their eyes out on Santa's?
Oh, yeah.
And their mom or dad put them there and had the picture.
Smile.
We've waited in line for an hour. We're going to get this picture.
Yeah.
You know, that can be a difficult situation. So are there things to make that easier? I found an article in Parenting Magazine from a year or two ago, and it was just some hints for parents about how to make that Santa Claus photograph go a little bit more smoothly.
Well, sure. I mean, and Santa are usually stacked with suckers and stuff like that.
Yeah, usually they have some treats and things at the end, so that's pretty great. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you're also waiting in line for a long time in a crowded mall and all of that stuff, and that's... Parents might get more impatient with it than the kids do.
I mean, if the child really is not happy doing it, you probably can just forego that. Are you serving your own needs at that point? Is the question you want to ask?
You need to have that plan B. You don't want to get in that lineup with the idea that this is going to happen no matter what, or else you might be setting yourself up for some disappointment and your child too. Right? Some other things, though, to make it a little bit easier is to give your child an idea about what to expect. Make sure they've seen what Santa looks like and his little area looks like before you get into the lineup, in case that can give you an idea if they're going to be really scared already to begin with, right? One of the things they suggested in that article was to allow them to pick what outfit they wear to go visit Santa and maybe to bring a toy along.
That's interesting.
To give them some control. And the reason why I pulled this out and I wanted to talk about it was really to tell this story.
Yeah.
My wife's cousin, who is, her uncle is only a few years older than we are. Okay. And there's a big age range among the kids and on that side of the family. And so her cousin I mean, he's 16 now, but at this time he was just a little guy. And so when he was 3 or 4 years old, we got our Christmas card with a picture of him sitting on Santa's lap at the mall, fully decked out in a Darth Vader uniform.
Okay.
He had the mask, a cape, a lightsaber in his hand.
I hope you kept people with delirium away from that.
That would have been very confusing.
Yeah.
If you were having some trouble there, for sure. But yeah, that's what we got in because he left the house saying, I want Santa to see my Darth Vader uniform, and that's what I'm wearing to see Santa. And his mom said, oh, all right then. She wasn't embarrassed to bring him to the mall in that getup. I mean, and maybe that would be less embarrassing at Halloween, but this was Christmas time. So that was a Christmas card that we got 1 year, and we kept it. We still have that picture just because it was so amusing to us. So maybe bringing a toy or letting them pick their outfit, maybe Darth Vader's going a little bit too far, but it certainly made for an amusing Christmas card.
I should say, actually, the first time my I think he was one year of age when I tried with my second born, and he didn't want to go near him. So what I did was I had my elder son sit on his knee, took a picture of that, and then took a picture of my youngest separately, put them together in Photoshop.
Oh, Photoshop.
And made a Christmas card out of it to
Photoshop
send out to friends.
Saves you every time.
There you go.
Great.
Now, what we were talking about in terms of trying to, if the child doesn't want to go, I think it's, you can probably just forego that. But if you're really intent on having your child go, some of those suggestions are good. But it's just back to that same, we're talking about anxiety, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Anything that approaches that experience with Santa Claus in an incremental way is really what you'd be looking for. Pictures of Santa Claus, seeing him on TV, a book about Santa Claus, walking to the mall, seeing Santa Claus from a distance, going to shop and coming back the following day.
Not putting too much pressure on.
That's right.
Even if you have waited in line for a while to get that picture done, if you put the pressure on, it's going to be that much more difficult, I would say, to get the picture that you hope to get at the end of all of that.
That's right.
You know, I think that kind of brings us to our top three things.
It does.
Let's do it.
Top three things. And the number one thing to remember is that the Santa Claus myth, it grows along with the child's developmental level. So prior to age 5, they don't really know the difference between myth and reality anyway. So if you were to tell them that Santa Claus wasn't real, they wouldn't even understand that at that point. So it grows with them. They tend to grow out of it on their own and realize it on their own. And they can often be proud of that realization that they came up with.
The number two thing is that using Santa Claus as a disciplinary tool might not be the best way to teach your kids how to behave. Now, I know I'm guilty of that. I don't know about you, G.
Sure.
It's so tempting to say Santa Claus is watching, watch out. But really, I mean, if your child misbehaves and 3 weeks later they don't get the gift that they asked for, what are they learning from all of that?
This would be a very poorly designed behavior plan.
Young kids will not make the connection. No matter how much you would like them to, that connection isn't going to be made. There are other better methods for disciplining your child, and Santa Claus isn't really one of them.
He's watching you.
Well, of course he watches me. Who else is he going to watch?
Doesn't watch the kids so much. The third thing to remember is that whether you choose to tell your kids that Santa is real or not and go along with the myth or not, that's completely a value judgment. There's no evidence that there's any psychological impact one way or another in terms of harming your child. So make your choice and everything should be fine.
And that brings us to the website of the week.
And our website of the week this week is NORADSanta.org.
This is NORAD's official Santa tracker. Have you ever looked at this before?
This is the first time.
Really? The last 2 years? No, I shouldn't say that. 2 years ago was the first time that I had seen it, and it was really fun for the kids. And in fact, we hooked it up somehow. I can't remember exactly how we did it, but they have a connection with Google Earth, so you can see the globe and you can see where Santa's sleigh is flying, and it drops presents out along the way. So you can track as he's getting closer and closer to where you live. And last year, we actually plugged the computer into the television, so on the big screen, they could watch Santa as he went along, as we were listening to Christmas carols and all of that stuff on Christmas Eve.
Wow, that's so like a brainwashing gig you got there.
They're already excited about Santa Claus, so we're, you know, this is what we did.
No, I'm just fooling.
Now this year, though,
it sounds like a lot of fun, really.
What's neat about the site this year that they, I don't think they had last year, but there's a link to Santa's village, and you can see the village at the North Pole and put your mouse over the different buildings and click on them, and there are little games and stuff for kids to play about Santa Claus as the elves are getting things ready to go for the 24th of December.
Interesting thing, as I look over at the website, there's your NORAD Track Santa 2009, and there's German.
Sure.
English.
Mm-hmm.
Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
French.
Yes.
Chinese.
Indeed.
And, wait a minute, is that Chinese?
It does. I don't know if it's Chinese or not, but I see right Asian. Above that it says Italian.
Italian. So there you go. Santa has arrived in Italy.
Italian children, you will get a gift this year.
Yes, maybe. You will. Maybe, maybe not.
Depends on if you've been bad or good. So,
so it's a really fun website
for
kids.
Yeah, we're just kidding around. It's kind of a fun thing. If your family is into the Santa story, then it's kind of a fun thing to do with your kids at Christmas time. And that is our website of the week. NORADSanta.org.
And that is it for us. This is our 90th podcast.
I think that's right. 90. 90 under our belt. Haven't missed a week.
Haven't missed a week except...
next week.
Next week.
We are going to take a little break for the holiday, right?
We're going to take a little break.
So there won't be a show. Well, you know what? We might put up an older show on the feed, actually. It occurs to me that we did a show on New Year's resolutions, so we might bring that one back out of retirement, I guess, for the week between Christmas and New Year's. And so what that means is, I mean, here's our announcement. You can still visit familyanatomy.com. You can still email us at info@familyanatomy.com. And our announcement is Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, have a great New Year, and we'll see you in 2010.
That's right. Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to everyone out there. It's been a great year here at Family Anatomy.
It's been a great year for us.
We hope everybody enjoys their families over the holidays, and we will, well, you'll be hearing us again in the New Year.
Exactly. Thanks so much for sharing the show. Thanks for sticking with us for 2009, and we'll leave you with a bit of a tune by Brother Love, who's over at brotherloverocks.com.
Thanks for listening.
Familyanatomy.com.